going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself. Because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss sports podcast with Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of the Ole Miss Spirit.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another live Talk of Champions. I am Billy Embody. We are powered by our friends at Riverland Roofing, where Ben Garrett is in the Riverland Roofing studio, as always, on this Monday. Ben, how we doing?
Good, Bill. I am, of course, like you said, in the Riverland Roofing studios. Riverland Roofing powers everything we do here at Talk of Champions. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. Billy Landis and my friends over there just off North Lamar are happy to help you with your roofing needs, and they're doing so much for us in this podcast in the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of On Three. Actually, in process, making real steps toward an in-Riverland studio to bring big-time Ole Miss guests into, including Lane Kiffin and Chris Beard, and whoever else we can come up with. We're getting closer and closer, friends. So we're going to have the Riverland Roofing Studios here in New Albany with your friendly neighborhood Ginger Shrek, but also a real studio to go to physically in Oxford, and we hope to have some fun, unique stuff coming to you, the Ole Miss fan, sooner rather than later, and hopefully you'll be able to join us a little bit there at the Riverland Roofing Studios, especially when we put on some fun little events and things of that nature. So, yes, Riverland has been so good to us, and so has B&A Bank and College Corner and Status Jet and My Perfect Franchise. I don't want to forget anybody, but so many of our friends have helped us here at Talk of Champions, here at the Ole Miss Spirit, continue to grow and to take real chances and try some things. So our thanks to them.
Yeah, it was a great weekend, Ben. I got to be honest.
Where were you? I feel like I didn't even hear from you, see you. Where were you?
Well, we were kind of just all over the place, you know, at birthday parties and things like that. But also, I mean, Mark Bowman was on campus at Ole Miss. Tracking down everything about him was kind of difficult. You know, those guys that come in from like the West Coast, deal with the time change a little bit. On those Sundays, they're pretty brutal to get in touch with, but did text with Mark a little bit at the end of the weekend. So that kind of made my weekend, quite frankly. But, you know, he's a big-time target, and we'll talk about him in a little bit. But I thought it was just a great weekend for Ole Miss. I mean, seems like a pretty strong weekend on the diamond to close out the baseball regular season, then, of course, softball. So where do you want to start?
Anywhere, because number one, softball deserves some credit here. I mean, Arizona's one of the toughest places in softball to play. I know that it's not the sexiest place to start, but these women deserve all the credit in the world for going to Arizona, one of the toughest places to play in softball. They'd won 23 straight series in the postseason, and for Ole Miss to go there and win and punch their ticket to Super Regional play for the first time since 2009. I can't remember exactly. I don't want to misspeak here, but it's a heck of a testament and credit to Jamie Traxel, Ole Miss softball head coach, and that entire team to get that done. And they're rolling right now. The Rebels have gotten hot on the softball side, and they've gotten pretty hot on the baseball side too, Bill. I mean, it's unfortunate that Ole Miss blew the opportunity to really put themselves on the right side of the hosting conversation with a sweep of Auburn. Now, winning the series puts you firmly back in that discussion. D1 baseball had Ole Miss, I want to say, in the late 20s, if not unranked entirely. Two polls last week had Ole Miss unranked entirely. I think D1 baseball was one of them. If they weren't, forgive me. But this week now, Ole Miss back to number 17, right there, back in that hosting conversation. Could have made it a lot easier on itself by sweeping Auburn. A lot of bizarre head-scratching decisions, especially from the manager's seat in regards to pitching utilization. But Ole Miss is right back in there. And I think if you look at Ole Miss's resume, they haven't been treated fairly all year. Sure, they've lost some games they shouldn't have lost, some ugly losses. Comparatively, Auburn's resume in terms of the ugly marks on the resume aren't anywhere close necessarily to Ole Miss's. But Ole Miss has a tremendous resume for hosting. Should already, in my opinion, be a host. 16 quad one wins, Bill. The second closest in the country is 12. Not to mention Ole Miss has had a top 10 strength of schedule all year. A series win over Auburn probably should have secured it. Back-to-back series wins over State, and Auburn certainly would have. So losing to that State team again is holding Ole Miss back. But now you go to Hoover as the 7th seed with a bye game to start. Wednesday's their first opportunity. You get two wins in Hoover, I don't think there's any doubt Ole Miss is hosting. And everyone would agree, it doesn't matter how you get there, just that you get there. If Ole Miss is hosting at the end of all of this, all the consternation and all the hand-wringing that, hands up, me, your friend Ben, has himself done, you, the Ole Miss fan, Ole Miss will have arrived exactly at where they needed to in this season of reclaiming the contender status that Ole Miss held for 20-whatever years under Mike Bianco. So baseball is doing some good things. Softball is well on their way. And then basketball has two roster spots remaining. And last weekend, not the weekend we're coming off of, last weekend Ole Miss hosted former Washington signee, a prep class of 2025 prospect recruit in Nico Bundelo, and he's a four-star recruit. And I think Ole Miss is nearing another addition there. So while we were all kind of looking at the transfer options, Bill, Chris Beard was going the other way. And that's one thing he talked about on this podcast with me last week. Go check it out. Search Chris Beard Talk of Champions or Chris Beard Ole Miss, Ben Garrett, wherever you get your podcast, listen to that interview. And I asked him about the transfers and how they built the roster and things like that. But there's still a balance that they're trying to strike in terms of high school talent. They didn't want to lose John Bull. They knew they were going to lose John Bull. I mean, I think John Bull getting into the NCAA transfer portal at the end of the year was a terribly kept secret from January on. He was a good teammate, but he was leaving. To lose him was certainly not ideal for Ole Miss, but they were prepared for it. And now they have to replenish not just their starting roster with the transfers, but also in high school, got two top 100 prospects in Patton Pinkins and Tyler Jordan. And now Nico Bundelo might be the best of the three. Certainly a skilled lefty with some size. He's 6'10", offers other additional offers include Ohio State, Michigan State, North Carolina, UConn, Michigan, Notre Dame, Alabama, Syracuse, LSU, Kentucky, Texas, Missouri, Illinois, averaged 11 points, 8 rebounds for Napa, California, prolific prep last season. So this is a player that, yes, while seeing some high schooler success under Chris Beard for 3 years, has been pretty rare. Edwater Klafke was in the rotation all last year, but he didn't really have all that much of an impact in terms of their Sweet 16. He did play a role, though, and they expect more out of him. But this is a freshman, I think, that could come into a front court and really add something to them, and a shooting element, some physicality. They've done really well. Say what you want to about what they have left, right? We know they need a dynamic ball control, playmaking, point guard. Desmond Claude would be great from USC, but that just feels like who knows at this point. He was supposed to go to Alabama on a visit with Desmond Claude, the transfer guard from USC. However, that's been pushed back. I've quit trying to figure out what constitutes as positive or negative momentum for Ole Miss in any of these pursuits. I think it's all just kind of a day by day. but they would like to add a guard. If this is the first of two pieces to end out this class with the transfer class they added, with the high school class, three top 100 players, that's doing really good work. Now, we could debate for days, Bill, about whether or not Ole Miss improved all that much compared to where they ended the Sweet 16 in an increased NIL budget. I would argue in this insane environment where the numbers shocked even the people out there, the coaches and administrators who couldn't be shocked anymore, that Ole Miss has done a tremendous job of navigating and staying within its both its philosophy and its price points to build another competitive roster when you had to quite literally replace all but two players. Malik D is a great place to start. He's a star player, as good, if not better, than any potential external addition Ole Miss can make this year. But you had to replace the rest of the roster. You can't trust Eduardo Klofke yet. They think he's going to be a good player. He's going to push to start. But Elias Carmardine from France, a Eurobasket MVP at 22, is coming in here to play. He's, in my opinion, the most significant external addition for Ole Miss so far. And then you're seeing the high school base be built back up because philosophically, that's what Chris Beard believes in. He believes there has to still be a balance struck. And unfortunately, because of how crazy the current environment is, had to rebuild three tiers of a roster, not just starters and transfers and putting another tournament team together, but also the base, what used to be the lifeblood of any program. It didn't matter if it was football, basketball, baseball, talented freshmen, the best freshmen developing, right? And that's where really Chris Beard over his career has had the most success in his development success story. So those are the three big stories for me right now, Bill. Softball, golly, go get them, girls. I mean, beating Arizona, taking air, and doing it the way they did, impressive fashion, defensively with the double play to end Saturday night, which was the Sports Center top 10 play, home run shots. They beat up a really good team and a program that in softball has kicked everybody's butt for year after year after year. And Ole Miss just went in there and took the thing. Now they're staring a trip to Oklahoma City in the face. They got to get their supers, but few, if any, in softball are playing better than your Ole Miss Rebels. So check them out. And then baseball, again, back in that hosting conversation. What do you got to do in Hoover? Probably go win one or two. Win one or two just to feel safe. Because Ole Miss, what has Ole Miss learned through this whole seating and hosting picture process? They're not going to be given anything. Nothing. It doesn't matter how their resume is comparatively to other trend line or borderline hosting teams, Auburn being one of them. You know, they're playing, they go into the series last week, they're playing as Ole Miss is unranked in two polls, and Auburn's number six, despite near identical resumes, right? So what have we learned through this? Ole Miss is not going to be given anything. You have to make it undeniable because these last 2 years are obviously still in the minds of Ole Miss fans. I mean, with every peak and valley, it's just the one extreme or another, and you're seeing a little bit of that too with how they're ranked and how they're treated nationally in terms of this conversation. They got to still prove some things, even though they have a really strong resume. If you take all of the frustration of the last couple of years out of play, been a really very good baseball team all year, a resilient group, a gritty group, a group that doesn't fold, a group that gets off the mat. Luke Hill, give him all the credit in the world, man. He has been that de facto captain for this team that doesn't have one. He has really just been a steady force for them. Luke Chang, who's helped Owen Payne, like he took over for Nolan Payne, who just really struggled as a freshman. You hate to see it again. Saw it with Greg Kessinger. Saw it with Thomas Dillard. Saw it with a lot of freshmen, Ole Miss freshmen, that ended up having great careers here. What does that mean for Owen Payne's future? Golly, with this culture, who knows? But where would Ole Miss be without Luke Chang? Right? Where would Ole Miss be without Judd Udemark? Where would Ole Miss be without Isaac Humphrey and Ryan Mormon and Mitch Sanford, all from the portal, all asked to come in, plug and play and start, and they have, and they've done it with aplomb. So support these teams right now. Yes, it's a quiet time as far as football. You know, I had somebody on the board say, is football recruiting done? Roster construction in football, basketball in the NIL era is never done until they kick off a season. So, of course, they're not done. But as far as what we're watching, what's pressing in recruiting right now, Nico Bundolo for Ole Miss basketball, and then, of course, Mark Bowman, the five-star tight end, visited Ole Miss this weekend. And, man, he looked really good in that powder blue and white hat. I'm not going to lie. He looked like a perfect fit, Bill. It's still, while you would think a typically slower time, It's not, man. Ole Miss things are happening, and we thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, there's a lot still going on with recruiting, and this is kind of that, like we talked about a little bit last week, that calm before the storm of the official visit season that really picks up in June. And Ole Miss has hosted some targets here and there throughout the month of April and into May now, and they've been able to make some moves with some of them. And you look at this past weekend, I think they made a move with Mark Bowman. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that they're going to get Mark Bowman just yet, because he's got a bunch of official visits left to go. And to kind of jog your memory, if you didn't really follow him that closely throughout the process, Mark Bowman has taken his recruitment and kind of sped it up, because he reclassified from the class of 2027. And truthfully, he looks like a grown man, so it makes a lot of sense that he's ready to go ahead and get his college career underway and figure out where he's going to play that college ball. And, you know, for Mark Bowman, he's got Miami, he's got Texas, he's got Georgia, USC, and Oregon still ahead on the schedule for him. And that's just in the month of June. You know, those are five visits that he's going to pack in, and that time is going to fly quickly. And it's kind of unique for Ole Miss to get maybe this breathing space on this visit for Mark Bowman and get a chance to host him. And remember, Mark Bowman is somebody that has known the Kiffins since he was 10 years old. He's not somebody that, you know, they started recruiting here just as he reclassified. He got, I believe, maybe his first offer was even from Ole Miss. That was years and years ago. He camped at Ole Miss when he was, I believe, a fifth grader. So he grew up with the Kiffins. He's known them. So it was more of a family vibe on campus this weekend. And then talking with a couple sources after the visit, they just feel like they put themselves in position to be a contender, you know, and with a five-star tight end, with a player as highly recruited as Mark Bowman, that's what you want, because we kind of see it in this NIL era right now. And really, I think people will get a little bit more of a taste for this with the rev sharing era, is you'll have those conversations about, well, what am I going to make? What am I going to make year one? What are my earning opportunities beyond that? And Ole Miss, you know, can have those conversations and say, look, Mark, we're gonna pay you X, or you're gonna get a chance to pay or to earn this season, and then next season you're looking at this. Here's your usage. Here's how we want to, you know, showcase you in the offense. Whereas, and I'm not saying like, you know, insert program X might not offer those same opportunities, because they could have a big name tight end that they've got to pay a lot of their revenue share to. They could be an offense that doesn't showcase the tight end as much. So there's all these different factors that come to play into this. And then you talk about rev share. So when you fast forward it ahead to some of these future visits, it might take them out of contention. You know, some of these teams might do some bigger numbers and things like that for Mark Bowman. Or just impress him overall a little bit more. But at the same time, he might look back at Ole Miss and say, wow, they really prioritized me. They showed me how big of a need I am for them, and how I can fit, and how much they want to show me the love, you know, through the money side of it too. So those things can help weather the storm of visits that are now in this rev share NIL era a little bit differently than maybe in the past, where, you know, everybody always wanted that coveted last official visit, and you still do to some degree. But if the numbers don't make sense for some of these prospects coming out of high school, even, you're not going to get them anyway, even if you have the last official visit. And sometimes now schools make such a statement on a visit, he could shut it down. But he does plan to take all these official visits. He told me yesterday he was pretty gassed from the weekend and all the travel. So we're going to catch up probably today and just go over his visit and what he thought. But just from talking with sources and, you know, just getting a feel for the vibes that Mark Bowman had at Ole Miss, he was really impressed with the visit. And I think he's, you know, somebody to just keep an eye on overall when it comes to the tight end room, which, you know, Ben Garrett, you put up a story on it last week. We've covered the tight end room pretty well as far as what's next for that position group. And they've got guys coming on official visits in the future. You know, JC Anderson is a big name that's going to be back on campus May 30th. And they're in a strong position for him heading into his official visits. You've also got Luke Sorensen, who, you know, if he decided today, another California prospect, by the way, if he decided today, it could very well be Ole Miss. So they're stacking up some highly recruited prospects that are getting to campus and getting a chance to see Oxford. And I think the future of the tight end room is in pretty good shape overall. If obviously they get one or two of these, you know, guys that they've been recruiting, and then you can kind of start stacking up those high school tight ends in a good way. And so I like the film of all these guys. They all look like grown men as well, which I think helps a lot. You know, tight end is a really difficult position to evaluate and to scout and to get right, because you could see wide receivers that grow into a tight end body. You could see big, big tight ends grow into offensive tackles. We've seen that. But the tight end position, I think in my experience, has kind of been a little bit more of a ready-made type of guy. You know, there's very rarely a Caden Prescorn type who goes from quarterback and transfer and has this interesting journey to, you know, getting to go to the East-West Shrine Bowl and getting at least a shot at the NFL. So I don't know. I like the way Ole Miss is recruiting the tight end position. It's not sexy, but it's going to be a key piece of this offense as it continues to evolve. You know, just being able to find guys that can stay out on the field for all three downs and for any personnel package and create some mismatches too. You know, tight ends, whether they can be split out, put in the slot, put in as a blocker, H-back, all those different things. I think this group that they're recruiting and they prioritize can do that and do it well. So we'll keep an eye on Mark Bowman and see how things go from there. Do want to remind you guys before we continue on the podcast is remind you guys about our friend Andy Ludeke and My Perfect Franchise. Ben mentioned him off the jump, but we got to remind you guys, this is a perfect time when you're maybe going through the summer, the dog days of summer, going into the office, or, you know, trying to find a little bit of flexibility to, you know, take a family vacation. Well, the franchise route could be what you're looking for. Yeah, you might have to grind and get it off the ground, but it's going to create maybe a different flow of money for you and your family. Maybe it's going to create a new passion for you, a passion project that you can hand down to your kids and the next generation and leave a legacy. And you could maybe, you know, hit the right spot in the franchise world and you can quit your 9-to-5. You can end that corporate rat race life of the office and, you know, just focus on your franchises. So Andy Ludeke is here to help. MyPerfectFranchise.net, 404-973-9901, or email him andy@myperfectfranchise.net, and he'll help you find your perfect franchise match today. As we continue on the podcast, I did want to chime in and build off of what Ben Garrett was talking about with the basketball side of things as well. Nick Bundelo, really talented prospect. If you're watching him on YouTube or you watched our show on YouTube, you saw some of his highlights getting it done on both ends of the floor. And, you know, the big man position is a really interesting position for college basketball as a whole. I think it's not the easiest to scout. I think it's not the easiest to find players that can play at the level you need to in the SEC, even if they're highly ranked and highly recruited and all of those things, because you have so many variables. You have to have motor. You have to have the ability to handle the ball in today's college basketball. And Ole Miss has found an intriguing option in Nick Bundelo where they could, or Nico Bundelo, where they could be, you know, adding that big man piece to the roster. And yes, he was a 2024 signee, I believe, originally, but he was released from that signing with Washington. And this is the weird part of college basketball that has kind of emerged over the last kind of few years, is these guys that get out of their NLIs late in the process and then hit the total reset on their recruitment, and they do it in a matter of weeks. Kansas State and St. John started off hot with him, but the McDonald's All-American did take that visit to Ole Miss, and they have emerged as a real team to watch here. And You know, the interesting thing about Prolific Prep is I believe they're moving their campus now to Fort Lauderdale, or it was one of the major prep schools that is. Yeah, Prolific Prep is moving from Napa to Fort Lauderdale. So how about that? Coast to coast and two great places to go to school. I mean, not for 17-year-olds. Probably Napa is probably a little slow or boring, but Fort Lauderdale is a great spot, and I think will help a little bit as well. Prolific Prep continue to, you know, hit the international world a little bit. Just some players that I've covered over the years from Prolific Prep were from the international ranks as well. But Bundalo's from Ohio originally. He's a big 6'9", 6'10", big man. He was just on the cusp of being a five-star prospect for us in the final on 300 or, well, on 100 rankings for the basketball side of things. That's what they do. But I like Chris Beard. He's always scrappy when it comes to recruiting and finding players that, not saying a Nico Bundalo is off the radar being a former Washington signee and a guy who, you know, is being looked at by Kansas State and St. John's right when he gets out of his decommitment. But some of these, you know, late exits from the NLIs are always really intriguing prospects to watch. And to get involved with them that quickly just shows where the program is. And it'll be interesting to see if they can bring him in. And then quick kind of programming note, I guess, for you guys on the recruiting front. Now is the time where the Nike EYBL and the grassroots circuits are really heating up for Ole Miss. So the coaches are going to be out on the road recruiting, watching these guys live in person. Of course, for the Nike side of things, it all builds up to Peach Jam just outside of Atlanta in Augusta, South Carolina. It's actually across the river in Augusta, South Carolina, not Georgia. But they do get out there in mid-July and watch these guys play. But they were on the road and just up the street from Ole Miss in Memphis this weekend, you know, getting a chance to watch some of their top targets. One target that we're keeping an eye on, of course, is Caleb Holt, the top 10 prospect who goes to Grayson High School, number one player in the state of Georgia right now. Ole Miss has its hands full. Alabama, Auburn are going to continue to prioritize him there. But they also did dish out an offer this weekend to a prospect that is going to rise up the ranks quickly. And that is Jock Mitchell. He goes by Jock. But he really is somebody that, you know, just watching a little bit of tape on him, as soon as he, you know, got this offer, Ole Miss was first to offer him, which is always a nice thing, you know, to be able to say that you can get an offer out and be the first and you're a high major doing it. You're really taking a big chance there. But we just created his profile, but he had 20 points, 14 points, 14 points, 17 points this past weekend. So really strong showing this weekend for him. And Al Pinkins jumped on him pretty quickly there and got the offer out. So that is now one to watch in the 2027 rank. So a big kind of run here for evaluation for basketball. They're going to have these open weekends where the coaches are going to be able to get out and watch them. So keep it locked on Ole Miss Spirit for more on that. Just $1 to sign up, omspirit.com. But I'm excited to be covering college basketball recruiting again. It seems like ever since COVID, it's kind of gone a little uncovered, but we're really excited to make that a priority for you guys as well on the Spirit and break all that down. I saw some Ole Miss baseball recruit highlights as well that we'll have on the site for you guys. And I do want to start chatting with some of them as, you know, they wind down their high school days and get ready to join the Rebels in the 2025 class. So Mike Bianco and his staff getting ready to welcome a whole new set of players, just as, you know, they wished all their seniors well on senior day over the weekend. So it's a fun time to be on the Spirit. So make sure you're on it as well and join us and make sure you are with Ben Garrett and myself and Chuck Roundsville, Jake Thompson. We've got all of our guys on the Ole Miss Spirit Talk of Champions as well. Jake will be in Hoover covering the baseball team. So make sure you get all the coverage from us on that front. And Ben, you know, football, you mentioned it, how they are not done, you know, recruiting this 2025 roster. Obviously basketball, we've shown that with Nico Bundalo, but it's an intriguing time. And I think it's a good time to reset the 2025 roster building process because the portal's been closed now for weeks.
Weeks.
I saw one savage tweet over the weekend, or maybe it was last week, calling what's left in the portal trash. But
no.
That's savage to some of the guys that are in there. But it is crazy to think about how many players do go unsigned when they go in the portal. It's why you got to have good representation, or just be smart. You know,
yeah, don't be Nerrell White. I'm not trying to disrespect the guy, but like, he had a real role potentially at Ole Miss, former 4-star recruit.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Okay, girls. Today, I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself. Because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/hiddentruecrime or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/hiddentruecrime.
I don't know where Nerrell is, but I promise you it's not a better opportunity than what he had at Ole Miss. So there is I
think he landed at JUCO, right? Or was that one of the other guys that I think he ended up JUCO.
That wouldn't surprise me. But like, that's a former 4-star prospect. I mean, he was a huge recruiting win for Ole Miss over Arkansas and others coming out of high school. One thing this culture has done is, I'm not saying that Nerrell or whoever has these kind of issues or gets in maybe prematurely or makes a decision that ends up blowing back in their face. I'm not saying all of them are bad decisions, but this is the cautionary tale, right? Yeah. There are so many more Nerrell White tales than there are pick your guy who, like a Caden Priestcorn, who was a former walk-on quarterback at Memphis, developed into a tight end, got on scholarship, transfers for bigger opportunity. And Caden's already been waived by the Detroit Lions. So hope Caden can find him a spot. But when you're thinking about it, it's a perfect bridge, in my opinion, to this whole tight end conversation you're having. Right. Mm-hmm. If I'd have told you when Lane Kiffin was hired, or asked you when Lane Kiffin was hired, pick the one position where you have no doubt Lane Kiffin's going to have a bona fide stud, tight end. And yeah. Listen, Kenny Yeboah was a stud for a year, well, 8 games because it was the COVID shortened season. Caden Priestcorn was a stud at times in the Peach Bowl, but it was more spotty injury history. We all think Daquan Wright can be really something for them, and he had some great moments last year. I can't get the drop at Florida out of my brain more than anything else. Mm. So Luke Haas has been recruited, I think I saw this week, ranked by Pro Football Focus as a top 10 tight end to watch for the 2026 NFL draft, just as Suntaron Perkins is a top 10 linebacker, according to Pro Football Focus, to watch out for the 2026 NFL draft. Is Luke Haas finally that guy that we thought that Ole Miss would have pretty much every single year under Lane Kiffin, because in his offenses, tight ends are so important. He's had Mackey Award winners. He did it with Harrison Bryant at FAU, turned Harrison Bryant into a top three round draft pick. He's always had this kind of success. But with Ole Miss, from a developmental standpoint, you haven't really seen that yet. Now, they've signed Hudson Wolf, who's no longer here, but he had injury after injury. It was a concern whether or not he was ever going to be healthy, and he wasn't. That happens. But Dylan Hipp be something? Because there have been other guys who have come and gone, highly ranked guys that you thought were next. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to misspeak, but I think one was Javonte Connor, who's already gone, was a four-star prospect. Might be thinking of someone else, but like go back and look at the last three, four high school classes, and they've signed like legitimate tight end prospects, but really haven't gotten anything out of them developmentally. So I think what you're seeing here is not a shift in philosophy. They always have wanted to get good tight ends. It's just Lane's just going to take big swings, right? I mean, he wants Mark Bowman. And if you saw those pictures of Mark Bowman, and maybe Billy can pull it up while I'm talking about him, he looks like a ready-made play. He looks like Brock Bowers. He looks like Brock Bowers stepping in, ready to play, ready to start. And when Brock Bowers left Georgia, immediately stepped in and produced and played as the best tight end prospect to ever come through. So I don't want to like put that kind of pressure on a Mark Bowman, but from a physical standpoint, there is nothing going to stop Mark Bowman from stepping in wherever he goes and starting to meet. Look at this cat. He looks like Caden Priestcorn when he left. Right. So, I think what you're seeing here is Lane's done trying to figure out or make the solve of, all right, this guy's got some traits I like. I'll sacrifice a little bit here because, man, I'm the tight end developer. I think it's more about, nope, we're going after the very best players now. We're done making any kind of concessions on how we evaluate scout. Look at these tight ends from a premium position or a non-premium position that I made premium and elite and really transform my offenses. I need that again. They're obviously looking to get that with Daquan Wright and Luke Haas. But this is the type of player that will take that could take a Lane Kiffin offense specifically because of how important tight ends are in it, and which has been historic. Every year he's been here, he's now going 6 years. It's crazy. Lane Kiffin, 6 years at Ole Miss. He has had historic offenses. A tight end like Mark Bowman could open it up because you saw it when Caden Priestcorn was cooking. You saw it when Daquan Wright was cooking. You saw it when Kenny Yeboah and Elijah Moore were cooking. Now imagine getting that starting point, that piece of clay that like he just hasn't had and developing it over 3 years, man. I mean, this would be one of your highest NIL earners. This would be one of your best offensive players from jump. And I think that Lane really is prioritizing getting his guy this year in the high school ranks at tight end. I don't know if that made sense, but that's kind of my take and my view on it because I just kept thinking of all of the swings he's taken over 5 years, and he's done, you know, sacrificing whatever he thinks a good tight end could be or supposed to be. Give me Mark Bowman. Give me that guy, right? And again, like, don't get it twisted. If they want Mark Bowman, if Lane doesn't get Mark Bowman, then he'll go get J.C. Anderson, right? Isn't that the kid's name? The four-star tight end?
You nailed it.
I'm terrible with names. I always mess them up.
You're rolling.
So good. So May 30th, there's a reason why Mark Bowman, they want it done as quickly as possible. But they're big game hunting for tight ends, and their first target is unmistakably Mark Bowman. Number two, and then they'll go down the list. They're done trying to fit square pegs inside round holes because Lane Kiffin offense needs that dynamic tight end component. And you've gotten it, but really Jackson Dart's an elite record-setting play offset what was pretty volatile tight end production, specifically in an offense that's always going to be among the nation's best. So what a fascinating recruit to follow and to really consider. Jason Boatner in our comments says, good morning, guys. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
I don't know if you're as fired up about the Mark Bowman possibilities as I am, but like I'm thinking specifically of what that kind of dominant tight end that you've seen under Lane Kiffin for so long, what that could produce for an already record-setting, never done before or never going to be duplicated again offense at Ole Miss, right? Like imagine the options and the spacing and like pairing Mark Bowman with Caleb Cunningham, right? Over years, right? Caleb and Winston Watkins, who balled out in the spring. If Winston Watkins doesn't hit, I give up pretending like I know anything about evaluating prospects. I don't think I know anything anyway. But I thought Aiden Williams was as can't miss as can't miss can be. And he's now a Mississippi State Bulldog. Winston Watkins looks the part, and he played the part. And for a room that, yeah, has a lot of transfers and they're decorated transfers, I'm looking at the developmental players. I'm looking at Winston Watkins. I'm looking at John Wayne Oliver on the offensive line, William Echols, and Cam Franklin on the defensive line, because this is the year where it's a year of transition. Ole Miss expects to compete, but I think they're at an inflection point in terms of their high school development and if they're going to make some big changes. I think this is important. I think this is an important year specifically for high school evaluation, because the pressure of it's not all about the playoff this year, right? It's not all about the national championship. It's not all about, well, just get a few pieces and go win the whole thing. And then when you don't, it's disappointing. There's so much growth potential and high ceiling potential outside of just the wins and losses. And one area that's been a blind spot maybe, or just it hasn't worked consistently for 5 years, 5+ years under Lane Kiffin, is the high school recruiting piece, right? And this year, they're putting it all out there for display. Their defensive line is Cam Franklin, William Echols, and yeah, they've got some Deshaun Walmacs and Prince Will Zuman Mielins, but it's time to see what they have, right? The guys that they developed, that they brought in, that's going to not only be the core of this Ole Miss football team, but the next great Ole Miss football team. And Javon Campbell comes into the comments, says, top of the morning, gents. Top of the morning, Javon. We're talking all about Ole Miss football and the tight end possibility and also what Ole Miss might be doing in 2025-26 as far as this roster. A roster built to compete. But, Bill, am I wrong? This is a team that they're two dual tracks, right? There's the competitive track, and also it's time to figure this piece of it out, because the future of college athletics is going to be a hybrid of high school and NIL. It's all NIL right now. Yeah. At some point, there's going to be – so what does that look like, and how does Ole Miss maintain its place at the table in that space? So I think this year is going to be huge for that. Seeing what you have, seeing if like some guys have just made bad personnel calls. You know, like it's a great thing that Ole Miss didn't replace a single staff member in the offseason.
Yeah.
Unprecedented. Now, if you're not getting a high school offensive lineman developed, if Bryson Sanders isn't worth a toot at center, right, do you have to have real conversations about lack of productivity, especially in developing linemen? Who's been responsible for that, right? Real hard calls as teams that are every year contenders are making those hard decisions to go be national championship caliber year after year. So I think it's a huge year for scouting and development, for making some hard decisions and just really testing the theory of, can Ole Miss be like the greatest programs are right now, following a dual track of competitiveness always, but also developing it in the pipeline for the next great Ole Miss football team and the next one through high school classes, because you just haven't seen that type of success like you've seen through the transfer portal. You just haven't seen it. Even guys that sign and give them a top 15 class like Narrelle White aren't here anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, looking back at those classes in retrospect, Aiden Williams, right, the number two prospect in the state that year, behind only Santarian Perkins, who's still here in year three, top 10 linebacker according to Pro Football Focus for the 2026 NFL draft. But Santarian was a five-star plus prospect. You and I could have picked Santarian Perkins out of that group. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the guys that build up. Like, you start to look at those classes in retrospect with this context of, well, how good has it actually been developmentally? It's not great. So I think this year is really the put up or shut up year for a lot of that, for Lane Kiffin's staff and their just overall department in scouting and development.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on so many levels. And over the last, year or so now, we've seen a little bit of shuffling in the scouting and personnel department. You know, Alex Brown comes in, Marvin Nash comes in. They had some guys, you know, depart or however it happens in that world, you know, some changes overall. Mm-hmm. And so now those guys working with Billy Glasscock are getting their chance to, you know, make their mark on the roster a little bit. And that'll take time to see how that comes to fruition. But, you know, a year goes by very quickly when you get settled into a new job, but then you get into the, all right, I've been recruiting so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so now for a year for the Ole Miss Rebels. Let's sign him. Let's see if he's still the guy that we want to bring in this 2026 class. So there's a lot of that now coming in the month of June. They'll have camps. Their camps are coming up here. They'll have their first camp June 1st, and then O-line.
Camp D-line. Season, Bill. We
I
love it.
Camp season. I love camp.
You do. You love camp season.
I love camp season. And they'll have their O-line, D-line. They'll have their 7-on-7. They'll have Friday Night Lights, a couple of elite prospects camps. So that's a good thing. Good chance for, you know, people to go to Ole Miss to show out for the staff. I think camps are so underrated now, and they used to be because the recruiting calendar is so moved up, right? You already know in the month of June when you hold these camps who your 2026 guys are for the most part. There's hopefully, I always hope for these stories, these guys that, you know, maybe if you're a G5 recruit, you don't have any offers and you pick them up in the month of June camping and earning them. If you're a G5 recruit who, you know, has SEC caliber stuff, you go onto these campuses, you bet on yourself, you pick up those offers, and then you get to live out your dream. You know, you might be a kid from somewhere in Mississippi who goes to Ole Miss, or, you know, even goes to Mississippi State and camps and earns your offer and gets to put it on, put the jersey on for your home state. Those are the cool stories that we used to hear more about. Now they're kind of pushed up a whole year almost, you know, because of the recruiting calendar and official visits in June and even April and all of that. It's just a different world of evaluation, and the timing of those evaluations makes it more paramount to have guys on staff that can do it and do it at a high level. Because, you know, I look back on when Mack Brown was at the end of Texas, his run at Texas, and those last 3, 4, 5 recruiting classes, they were all done before guys ever stepped foot on a football field for their senior season. And what did Texas do? They plateaued because they took the guys that peaked early in high school. They got them committed because they all wanted to play for the Texas Longhorns. And instead of really looking and assessing the guys who can develop and maybe are late bloomers, their classes were done. And so now everybody's in that boat. So you have to be even better at evaluating. And that's where Ole Miss could have some of their top targets work out with the coaches too, and have a chance to experience what's it like to be coached by John Garrison and James Craig and Coach James and all of those guys in that offensive line room. That's a critical position for this recruiting class. We know that. I was asked on the board, and I just saw it this morning. I need to respond on the board, but you know, how many guys are they going to take on the offensive line? We talked about this. 4 to 5 is usually a pretty safe bet. High school recruiting is such a crapshoot. Getting those guys to come work out with Coach Garrison could be a huge opportunity for them to also pick up more information, but also the staff to really be able to figure out, okay, we've worked out this guy in person. How does it look compared to the guys that we've had in the past that have hit? If they've hit, let's go ahead and put the press on even more for some of these players. So you could say that across position groups as well. Getting a chance to work these guys out in person will be key. But this year, I think, to circle back to what you were talking about earlier, this year in college football is going to be so critical as a whole to what the future of the sport looks like. They're meeting about the 16-team playoff. Does the SEC eventually – I know, it drives me nuts. Eventually,
hold on. We're not flying past that, Bill.
Yeah. I do not like the 16-team playoff. Don't like it.
12 is perfect. Like with everything, greed and money are poison the well. We can't just have good things. Like, why couldn't they just let this be in place for 5 years? And also, don't put me up on the screen by myself, because I'm not going to rant by myself too long here. Here's the deal, Bill. Greg Sankey, I'm out on him. I don't see it with Greg. I don't understand it. It doesn't seem – it seems only about – just like when Roger Goodell makes decisions. Okay. When Roger Goodell makes decisions, he's only considering a few things. One, his own pocketbook, and two, the pocketbook of all of the owners that he represents, right? He didn't care about the players. He didn't care about the fans. He loves when the fans boo him, because you're feeding into the branding, right? He is a corporate figurehead and shill for these owners. What do you think in this – new business-oriented, completely focused era of college football? What do you think Greg Sankey is in charge of the most powerful conference in America? He is a corporate stooge and shill. He cares about his pocketbook and the pocketbook of all the universities. And in that way, he has real power. Unfortunately, he hasn't shown the competency to get done what needs to get done. Instead, I mean, I think he thinks he's supporting the SEC with the 16 playoff, but like in that greedy money grab, what he's failing to figure, like to listen to is the fan.
Yeah.
The fan experience is being destroyed while y'all are all lining your pockets. We want more football. We want more consequential football. But we also want the regular season to mean something. We also want to give a crap of when our team beats its rival. Yep. We want that. Like, I could get more on board with an all-SEC schedule compared to this. You're making it less and less significant. And in a world in 2025 where we're all competing for the eyeballs of everyone else all the time, the worst thing you can do is make your boring make your sport not mean what it used to, not have real significance. The games themselves. When our guys go play those Bulldogs in Starkville, I want to kick their butt. Yep. Is that attachment still here in 2025? Not really. You talk to the younger generation. I don't know how we get this younger generation back. They don't feel like we did. It doesn't mean the same to them. Like when Joe Gunn in this newspaper article I still got right here, Joe Gunn goes in against Alabama 2003, Ole Miss beats Bama for the first time in however many years. They didn't celebrate in the streets when Ole Miss, you know, pick your team, beat up, like not LSU this year, but just pick the win that you thought, Georgia, of course, 28-10. Were they running through the streets or were they doing performative stuff like ripping the goalposts down again and parade them through this? Like, what does it mean to you now? And a lot of that is because the, quote, you know, guardians of the game have done nothing but guard their pocketbooks.
Yep.
At the expense of the fan. Man, I'm worried about where we're going here. I'm glad the players are getting paid because I'd rather them get paid than the stupid old stuffy suits in the boardrooms. But my gosh, man, leave it alone. Are y'all really going to go for a 64-team NCAA tournament with football? It makes no sense. Yeah. It completely renders the regular season moot and pointless. I just want football to matter to the people. It matters. Like, there's not a whole lot of us. Now, we're a very passionate group, and there's a big enough group of us where you got to pay attention. But like, you're squeezing out the lifeblood of this whole operation here. Bill, we're supposed to have an attachment to it.
Yep.
In some way, right? We're all in this together, whether I'm Ben Garrett media person or stupid Homer fan to you, whatever you think I am. We're still in this community, this pocket, this bubble together, right? But now it's constant fracturing of this, and it's driving me nuts. And you're only seeing more and more of it, the bastardization of college football. And we're watching it in real time.
Yep.
We're watching it happen, and we're not fighting back like gangbusters. We should be storming the streets like, guys, what happened to our sport? Pay the players because we don't believe in free labor. We're capitalists, baby. I do a good job. You pay me for what I did. You know what I mean? Fairness. That's not the issue. The issue is these old men like Greg Sankey who are only looking out for one thing, the almighty dollar, for them and for all the other old heads and boomers that ruined it for the rest of us. All right, I'm done now.
Feel better?
I do, a little bit. I do.
A little bit.
I feel a little better. Jason Boatner said, fired up, 2025 is going to be great, but 2026, talking about Ole Miss football, has the potential to make for the best team in history. Yep. Slow down. Jason, thank you. Let's see.
Are you going to rain on his parade? Are you about to do that?
I just want to see one Austin Simmons start first. You know what I mean?
Fair.
Because, like, say what you want about the final record, 10-3. They won 10 games for the third time in 4 years. I remember when 10 games was a pipe dream for Ole Miss football. I grew up going to the Motor City Bowl, going to the Independence Bowl, watching Ole Miss with Jonathan Nichols kick a 54-yarder against Vanderbilt and Jefferson Pilot to win. I remember that. All right, 7-8 wins felt like we always in our programs, you know, are in their media guys that don't exist anymore. Those physical big books that they would send in the mail. It was part of their marketing. Ole Miss always won seven games. Now, if Ole Miss won seven, like I say what you want. We don't lose more than we win. We don't lose more than we win. And we always win seven and go to the postseason. We're like, there's this bowl record. Everybody's celebrating this bowl record. There's no celebrating bowl records in 2025. No one knows who went to the Cheez-It Bowl last year. Real quick, off the top of your head, you ready, Bill? Who went to the New York Yankees bowl game? You know what I mean?
Oh,
the
God, pinstripe
bowl. Exactly.
I don't even know. That bowl game is such a money grab for the
– It all is. What did you say? Money grab. I remember the Motor City Bowl like it was the friggin' Super Bowl. All right? I still talk about it. When Bill surprised me with that mailbag last week where he didn't even really ask me any mailbag questions. He just messed with me. All right? like he showed the highlights of Randy Moss against – I mean, that's legendary stuff. But we bastardized it because of the love and the obsession with the almighty dollar. Leave it at 12. We just wanted a playoff. Now we're not asking you to give us – it's like when you ask for dessert for dinner and your parents finally give it to you. You know what I mean? But then you can't just be thankful for it. You have to go, well, no, okay. I want some Almond Joys too, you know, just wash down these freaking Mr. Good bars, right? Like, slow down, football, or you're going to figure out pretty soon that you're aging out. Give a shit. In the sport that we all love, you're aging it out. Give a shit. Forgive me, God, for saying that word. But also, that's what it is. Do you give a crap anymore? Because if you don't, you're not alone. How do we save that? Yeah. Right? How do we preserve that? Here's a start. Lead the playoff alone. I'm down. Yeah.
Totally agree.
Ridiculous. Totally agree. Ridiculous, man. I mean, just, I'm not going to do it again. It's just ridiculous. Because, like, yes, Ole Miss would make it in a 16-team playoff. Would it mean the same to you?
Well, we just limped into the playoff. We're not any good. You know, we're not really good. It's just
you're already making excuses or making reasons not to give a crap. We don't give a crap anymore, Bill. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm crazy.
No, I all of the reasons why the 12-game schedule, you had to be perfect. You had to be perfect.
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 And I hated it, but also it was right.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And now you just got to play more games. You don't have to be perfect, which, look, in today's day and age, probably one of the hardest things about this job is figuring out a way to get these 18 to 22-year-olds with everything going on with NIL, social media, all that stuff, pressure to focus in for 12 games and win them all.
And just care.
Yeah. Now you almost don't have, like, you need to. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's the goal. That's the effort that is trying to be put together. But, you know, if you got a little wiggle room. If you're in the SEC, you got 1 to 2 games you can lose.
You got
wiggle room. Especially if you lose them early in the season.
Lost to Kentucky and everyone said, oh, it's over. You beat Georgia. Oh, we're back. Yeah. And you lose to Florida. Oh, it's all over. And they still were like the last team left out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That it robs you of the consequence. You know, like, oh, it's the consequences of my actions. You know, just like it has to mean something. Otherwise, what are we doing? Right. And I think that's what really is bothering me about college. It's not about the money, it's about the greed of individuals and stuffy old men who can't just accept that. We want fairness across the board with the labor. And then after that, make it matter. Every single time you line up on a Saturday, it matters. When Ole Miss played Murray State to open Eli's starting career, everybody showed up because Eli is starting his career. And yeah, it's Murray State, but it matters, right? Because God knows if you lose to Murray State, right? And there's a way to make all of those bowls matter again, too. But it's the corporate greed. You put the corporate sponsor, call them the Cheez-It Bowl, for God's sake. You know, like there used to be an attachment to bowls. I feel like I'm ranting like an old man on a cloud, but really I'm ranting like an old man at the old men. You know, like there used to be an attachment. The Music City Bowl, of course, the Music City Bowl is in Nashville. Where is the Cheez-It Bowl played? Anybody? Yeah,
it's
isn't that what replaced the Citrus Bowl?
Yeah, I was about to say Orlando.
So I know that, but does the common fan, when they hear Mississippi State, Ole Miss have made the Cheez-It Bowl, are they going, oh, heck yeah, man, we're going to Disney World like I thought that Ole Miss was after 2009, the Egg Bowl, and then they went and shat the bed in Starkville?
When my guy 40 Kentrell Lockett was like, Ben, it's State. Don't worry about State. We're not worried about State. And then they went and lost. Going to the Cat One Bowl mattered. Does it yep. matter now? The Gator yep. Bowl? The Gator Bowl not. Meant something when Elvis Gerback and Michigan fell behind 3-0 to your Ole Miss Rebels in 1991, then turned around and beat the brakes off of 60-33. My dad still had the sweatshirt. The Gator Bowl. Ole Miss went to the Gator Bowl.
Yep.
Ole Miss just beat the brakes off of Duke in the Gator Bowl. And we don't even talk about it anymore. Yep. People, not the fans. The fans are just begging for you idiots to listen. You stuffy old men. Stop thinking about you. You've got enough money. You've got enough rounds of golf to have played. You know what I mean? You don't need 6,000 square feet. A 2,500 square foot home is plenty enough. When you pay off a car, thank God for the blessing and move on with your life. You don't need a friggin' Mercedes. No one even cares about luxury cars no more. Leave our sport alone. I'm done. That's the third time I said I'm done, but I'm done.
All right. I think that's all we have time for is on this Monday. For Ben Garrett, I'm Billy Embody. We'll be back with more Talk of Champions. We've got our rants out of the way for the week. A lot more to talk about, though, on the Riverland Roofing Studio front. So we're looking forward to that. Ben, it's been a fun Talk of Champions. I enjoy talking about the future of college football because so much is up in the air. Because
it scares you, too.
Yeah, it does. I just miss where every single game mattered. And it was, like you said, life or death, but not life or death. And, you know, when you lost that one game, it was like, man, oh, well, it was a good year. National championship dreams are over, though. And that was how it was.
It reinvested you. You said, okay, well, now I got to see, can you get something out of Charles Sawyer at corner? Because he's going to be your CB1 next year. Like, while we're sitting here, and it's year-round, this roster build. Like, there's no connection to the rosters anymore because they're completely turned over every single year.
Yeah, that's right? The biggest thing I want to see changed or figured out how to block them in more multi-year. And the roster you got is the roster you got a little bit more outside of guys graduating and then the high school guys coming in. You know, some transfers here and there, but be nice. I think that's also – I could be wrong. You can take this on a whole nother track, but the NBA, like, trade. I feel like I have no idea where some of the top players are.
Yeah.
Just all the trades, so –
That's right. What I'm saying. I don't care. Make the decisions for the betterment of the sport itself. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Of course, the players need to be paid.
Yep.
Of course, we wanted a playoff. It's the fairest of all the postseasons. Every other sport in the world does tournaments. But how can you do the tournament in the fairest and most competitive way? How can you reward? Not just, oh, well, this team is the LSU and this team. I don't know.
Yeah.
Rather than worry about 16 teams in a playoff, worry about the second portal window because that sucks. And you've ruined spring football for everybody. Like, they can't even, like, Deion tried to save spring football for you. Him and Fran Brown tried to save it for you, NCAA, this year. Say, we'll play each other. They gave you a game in the spring. You said, no. Why?
Yep.
You don't, because you don't want interest in your sport. We've lost track. We have lost what the main thing is. Keep the main thing the main thing. How can you make college football something you cannot live without? I can live without 16 games. You know what I can't live without? You know what I can't live without? Thinking that Ole Miss doesn't matter to, like, my kids. Thinking, you know, something that was so fundamental for us growing up, Bill. Does it have this, like, a whole generation being lost to because of what? Oh, well, I really want to go play at Augusta. And, you know, if I can raise $100,000, shut up.
Yeah.
I'm done. That's four. Oh, RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. I love these people. I can't wait to show y'all the studio. I can't wait to have the first guest. Hoping to make it Caden Lee. Caden Lee's a tough man to track down. He's been actually training with Jaden Daniels this offseason. So, going to be doing some stuff with him and then some other players as well. So, stay locked in. Our thanks to Riverland. Our thanks to BNA. Our thanks to My Perfect Franchise, College Corner, all of these sponsors that allow this stupid idiot to start ranting and raving on a summer day and sweat under his cap because he got so worked up at Greg Sankey.
Catch you guys next time on another Live Talk of Champions. Have a great week, everyone.
Just 12 teams. Keep it
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.